Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. When September arrives, WGN America will turn primetime into a multi-hour offering of developments and trends from across the country. News Nation is the offering, and co-anchor people Joe Donovan and Marnie Hughes join me next from Chicago. And then we'll take a deep dive into the explosion of smart TV products, content, and viewership next half hour with Sherry Riggs, one of the officials at research firm Whistle Out. Also ahead, Peacock Burst, Fire at TV Foodies Home, and our new classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a pair of free audiobooks and more when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. 92 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple, and we welcome you on this Monday afternoon to week 2 of year 14 of the program All About TV's current and future. Some great guests coming away this hour. We're going to get right into it, so get on the phone, pick up the dial, and tune in, and use this number along the way. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere. Catch us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And if you're shy about using the phone, that is no problem with us, because we got a chat room all ready for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, you're involved. And while the phone's on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Go to the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Speaker or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. The weeknight co-anchors of News Nation on WGN America join us live from Chicago after these news notes. We start with a flurry of series green lights from Peacock, NBC Universal's mega content venture. 5 series will go into production over the next few weeks. 3 scripted, the other 2 forming a weekly late-night hour. The scripted trio are MacGruber, with Will Forte expanding his popular Saturday Night Live sketch role, Girls 5 Eva, following the reunion of a one-hit wonder 90s girl band starring Sarah Bareilles and co-created by Tina Fey, and Rutherford Falls, taking place in upstate New York and featuring co-creator Ed Helms. Both late-night series will begin next month. The Amber Ruffin Show and Untitled Roundtable Half Hour, monitored by Larry Wilmore, previously from The Nightly Show on Comedy Central. Food Network and syndicated host Rachel Ray and family are in good shape this afternoon, one day after Ray's home in upstate New York was burned by fire. In recent weeks, Ray produced new episodes of 30-minute meals from that location for Food Network. The cause of the fire is under investigation at this hour by Warren County Sheriff personnel. Another Food Network development, Carl Hall, the former co-host of ABC's The Chew for a number of seasons in daytime, and more recently a judge in a number of Food Network's culinary competition series, has signed a new program development deal with the network. She will work on various new series and will also work on Food Network Kitchen, the interactive service co-owned with Amazon. And now some quickies before we get to our first guest. Fargo will finally get season 4 to viewers September 27th on FX. Chris Rock stars. Disney has renamed its production units ABC Signature, Touchstone Television, and 28 TV. ABC Signature combines ABC Studios and ABC Signature TV. Touchstone Television is renamed for Fox 21 and 20th Television for 20th Century Fox Television. The name changes go into effect this fall. George Carlin will be honored with a 2-part HBO documentary special Judd Apatow will direct. And hundreds of HBO and Warner Brothers employees are expected to end their jobs this afternoon following parent Warner Media's executive realignment last Friday. About 600 people are getting their pink slips. And that is news notes for today. And now joining me live from News Nation's headquarters in Chicago, the weeknight co-anchors of the program, Joe Donovan and Marnie Hughes. Joe and Marnie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Simon. You know, I think if we need a house broadcaster, we should maybe give you a ring. Your energy level is just off the charts. We love it.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. I will definitely take that into account. We'll make the offer. We'll see. Marty, we'll start with you. You're in the midst of run-throughs and getting ready for September 1st. What are you learning about doing a 3-hour primetime newscast?
Great question, Simon, and I think it's something we've all really been focused on because many of us, Joe and I included, came from local TV markets. Joe worked in Portland and Tucson and Corpus Christi. I worked in Seattle, Minneapolis, Salt Lake City, and I started my career in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And a lot of us came from backgrounds where we took national stories and we localized them for our audience in these communities where we lived and loved. And now we're doing the opposite as we produce a national newscast. We're taking local stories from all of our Nextdoor affiliates across the country, and we're elevating it to a national platform. And so we're broadening out stories. But I think what makes us really unique is we have the opportunity to share a lot of stories on a national broadcast that normally you wouldn't see in cable primetime news. And so we're really excited about doing that.
Joe, you and Marnie were talking last week to many of the Nextdoor affiliates that will be contributing reports to the program. Nextdoor, by the way, is the parent of WGN America, and they are one of the biggest broadcast news operations in the country, like 5,000 correspondents all over the place. What are they saying about being involved with this program? What questions did those local anchors and reporters ask you and Marnie?
Well, like you, they wanted to know more about how the show was going to work and their role in it, and I think they're all excited about what their role will ultimately be, and we talked at length about the rehearsals that have been underway here in Chicago in our studios for the last couple of weeks. And the last week was a prime example of our coverage of the hurricane and our ability to tap into all of these Nextdoor stations along the East Coast and do live reports from Miami all the way up to Virginia and beyond. So for us to have these resources at our fingertips, I think people will, when they watch, understand that we can pivot to any one of these Nextdoor markets quickly and get to anything that's happening as we speak or anything that's happened during the day. That's part of how we put together this process, starting with an 11 o'clock editorial meeting, looking at all of the stories that our Nextdoor stations are covering, and then we decide, as Marnie said, which stories will be in our national broadcast. And oftentimes these are local stories that would never see the light of day, and we're putting the light on them.
Marnie, what kind of local stories are you looking for, especially breaking news stories?
Well, I mean, I think right now you have to look at what's happening in Chicago overnight. So I think there's a way to easily nationalize the violence we saw in Chicago's Loop last night and some of the unrest that's happening and certainly the looting and the businesses being impacted. I think there's a lot of local communities that can relate to what is happening in Chicago. So we have an opportunity to talk about what's happening here, also what we're seeing in Portland in the last few weeks, in Seattle as well. And I think COVID is a big story that we can really lean on our local affiliates to look at how different communities are dealing with COVID. Back to school is another really good example. There are some communities that have returned kids to school. There are others who haven't yet. And so I think we have an opportunity to look at lessons learned as we all walk through these uncharted waters, and we try to figure out what's working for some and what's not working for others. Beyond that, I think, you know, specifically some stories that we can cover in one of our rehearsals recently, we highlighted a little kid in Connecticut named Frankie who was woodworking and raising money with his artwork to help people in his community who have been struggling through the coronavirus. So we gave Frankie some attention on our news. He's a kid from Connecticut. He's about 10 years old, and he's doing something cool. And so we thought, hey, this is an opportunity for News Nation to share and highlight this kid who's doing something unique and hopefully inspire and bring people together. I think news has an opportunity to bring people together and not divide.
Yeah. Joe, since Marty brought up the coronavirus situation, you know, one of the things that I'm certainly seeing, and I've talked to a number of people about the coverage so far among all the broadcast journalism community, whether it's broadcast networks, the cable, and so forth, there seems to be a lack of context about the impact of this pandemic, also how states are actually doing, and also the treatments that people are getting. One example in terms of where I think coverage is missing is this. When you see the graphics that the various stations and networks are using to point out how many people have the virus and how many deaths there have been, there's no graphic about how many people have recovered from the virus. Good Morning America's Weekend Edition did for a couple of weeks and then stopped. And it's like, shouldn't that be part of the coverage? Joe and Martin,
yeah,
your thoughts about that.
We have heard that from people, and I think that's an important element of it. And I think there are other graphics that really lend support to it as well. Like, for example, I'm interested in positivity rate. That, to me, says a lot. I'm interested in the ICU beds that are available or not. I'm interested in hospitalizations. Those, to me, are real numbers that say a lot, in addition to the number of people who've recovered, as you mentioned. Today, for example, in our editorial meeting, we would have had our Miami correspondent do a story on the fact that the COVID cases are improving, the numbers are improving in Florida, and we all mentioned the fact that it would be sort of reassuring to hear some good news from Florida. So our goal here is to really look at factually what's happening, using balance, not bias, to try to tell the true and complete picture of what's happening.
And, Ronnie, one aspect also that I find going with the motto of your program, balance, not bias, is we don't hear a lot about the treatments. We hear a lot about the vaccine situation from all over the place and who's trying to come up with the vaccines and when. And we're not hearing a lot about the treatments, like hydroxychloroquine, like remdesivir, like the steroid that we've heard a number of government officials talk about. Or I understand it's a cholesterol drug that may end up being a very important part of this equation to cure people of the pandemic. And in the editorial meetings you've had so far, has that subject come up in terms of trying to showcase the various treatments, therapeutics, et cetera, that may play a role in curbing the pandemic?
Simon, I think our job as journalists is to really turn over every rock when it comes to whatever story we're covering. So in the case of COVID, there are a lot of unanswered questions, and I see our responsibility in bringing in experts that maybe you haven't heard from yet on the national news. For instance, I interviewed a doctor last week from Johns Hopkins. He's an epidemiologist. He's been doing this 30 years, and I spent an hour with him on the phone asking all of the questions you just asked. I think at the end of the day, when we come on the air at 7 p.m. Central each night, our job will be to tell you what the story is, answer all of the questions to the best of our ability, and also answer the why, which is our job as journalists. And so when it comes to treatments, we have to ask a lot of people their opinions based on science, based on data, based on facts, and then we have to also add perspective so that people at home can understand, because I think people are really hungry for information. Unfortunately, with COVID, there's a lot we don't know, and when I got off the phone with that doctor last week, that was really kind of the end all, as he said, there's a lot we're still learning every single day. So I think we have to be patient with the information, but at News Nation, it's front and center for us to try to get as much information as quickly as possible and as accurate as possible so we can provide a complete report each night on our news so that people have the information they need to make smart decisions in their own lives.
We're talking about News Nation. It's the brand-new three-hour primetime news program on WGN America. It starts on September 1st, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central. It originates from Chicago, and we'll also take into account reporting on Next Star television stations from all over the country. We're speaking with the two weeknight co-anchors of the program, Joe Donlin and Marnie Hughes. They're with us live from Chicago, and they are with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appelbaum with you live from New York, 90 degrees at the top of the hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, dial in 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on the program, first, before there was Survivor, before there was The Amazing Race, there was Echo Challenge. And this Friday, through Amazon, it is coming back. Executive producer Lisa Hennessy will join us. And then we will take you live to the Pacific Northwest with a production company called Triple Squirrels. It's put together in part by Tom Skerritt, the Emmy-winning actor from Picket Fence's fame. And remember him from the 1990s CBS series. And they have come out with a brand-new programming service on smart TV sets and smart devices called Evergreen. That's right, E-V-R-I-G-R-N. And it's a new showcase for talent, both scripted and unscripted talent, from that corner of the country. We'll speak with the chief executive of Triple Squirrels, Leslie Grandy. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Tell. And Joe, that might be an interesting story to cover. I mean, these are folks that are trying to come up with a new plumbing service that showcases the Pacific Northwest for people around the country.
Well, Marnie and I both have a lot of experience there. I remember Tom Skerritt, did you say, is part of that as well?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I remember him from Top Gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that sounds exciting. There's plenty of content to be had there in the Pacific Northwest, as Marnie and I both know. We would have covered several of the protests there in Portland and also in Seattle. And I was just saying to someone the other day who was asking me how I like Chicago. I've been here for 2.5 years now working for WGN. And one of the things I miss about the Pacific Northwest is the ability to get in a car and 2 hours later be somewhere completely different. You can be on the coast. You can be on Mount Hood. You can be in the Columbia River Gorge. You could be in the high desert, Central Oregon, and the same goes for Seattle as well. It's beautiful country, and I'm sure they'll have plenty of content there.
Yeah. Marty, the motto of your program is balance, not bias. When you have 3 hours to play with, and you have all sorts of developments, not just the up-to-the-minute news, the feature stories, but you also have various departments, sports, technology, entertainment, et cetera, how do you do that balance? How does that balance work?
Well, I think we have the luxury of 3 hours, and I think as Joe mentioned a moment ago, when we get together and have our editorial meetings every day, there is so much news happening around this great big country of ours that our challenge will be to fit it all in, because there is no lack of activity from coast to coast and everywhere in between. And so News Nation, as you said, it's facts, not opinions. And what we believe doesn't belong in our newscast. And a trademark, I think, for News Nation is that it goes back to the basics of journalism. It's what we all learned in school, that our job is to report the facts, and at the end of it, you decide, and you can have an informed discussion about the day's events with your family. And that's where we see our role and our responsibility with News Nation. So we have a variety of stories. We'll cover the news of the day nationally. We will have international news, but we'll also have segments and storylines along technology, for example, or my personal passion is health news and medical news, ways to help people to live healthier lives. We will have business news. We'll have economic news. We'll talk a lot about back to school as kids are heading back to school. So I think to have 3 hours where we can cover not just the news of the day, but we can go more in depth on things is an opportunity. And when it comes to opinions, I think it's simple. We just present the news and the facts, and then we move on to the next story.
Joe, will certain departments like health, education, science, et cetera, pop up at various times, let's say a set time during the course of an hour, or is it going to be mixed up so that I always have to stay tuned to see what's going to come next?
Right, it'll be mixed up. A lot of the formatting is coming together as we speak, but I know on a daily basis we also take into consideration weather. I know that will play a big role. Our main meteorologist, Albert Ramon, again, last week was following the situation with the hurricane. He had a more prominent role in particular hours. There will be some nights maybe where he wouldn't have his prominent role, but he'll be keeping an eye, as I mentioned earlier, about this pivoting to different cities. Let's say there's severe weather in Oklahoma City. We can go to our station there, use their helicopter, and cover the situation that's happening there. We have severe weather that's brewing right now in Chicago, so that's something we're keeping an eye on as well. But I think what we've done really is look at what our options are and whether, like, for example, on a day like today where you have a COVID segment, maybe we're looking at the unrest in Chicago, have business and money, celebrity. There's some celebrity news today with Simon Cowell and Antonio Banderas with COVID, Rachel Ray's home burning, some of the things that you mentioned in your news notes earlier. These will appear not necessarily in any particular order, but we will use them to group into, categories that people will, I think, find helpful and in a good workflow in our newscast.
Yeah. I want to point out that in addition to the three-hour primetime cast, the primetime block repeats from 11 p.m. Eastern Time to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, and if there are stories that have to be updated, they will be updated live in the course of that late-night 3 hours.
Correct. So we understand in this day and age, everybody is on the go, people are living fast-paced lives, and so it's important for us to be able to reach people where they are and to not create any hurdles for people to have access to news. So News Nation will be on the air live every night for 3 hours, but we have a 24/7 operation set up digitally to break in when news happens, whether that's during the week or on the weekends or in the middle of the night. So we have a staff that is based here in Chicago that will be handling all of our digital content, but together as a team, we're all building that platform so that people can reach us on our social media platforms and elsewhere. So we've created News Nation Now app. We're on Facebook, and then we have a website, which will be newsnationnow.com. And for people to find us on TV, WGNAmerica.com, we have a zip code search bar where you can put in your zip code, and you can find out which cable provider and channel you can find us on each night once we launch on September 1st.
And ultimately, place to apply again for Media Village on this topic. And we'll tell you about how you can find that Media Village story. We had a number of columns on News Nation. You should know that ultimately there's a possibility that we become a smart TV programming service 24/7 that will be available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. You are hearing the weeknight co-anchors of News Nation, the new primetime news service from WGN America that premieres on September 1st. Joe Donlin and Marnie Hughes, they're both in this live from Chicago this half hour. On tomorrow will be televised. Found out on the live from New York. If you have any questions or comments or any minutes with our dynamic pair, make the call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Next Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, HBO Max is a brand new series called Ravi Patel's Pursuit of Happiness. And Ravi Patel, a popular actor and entrepreneur, is not only the subject and the host, he's the executive producer. And he'll be with us live. That's right, Ravi Patel, live with us. Next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Joe, talk about the breaking news anchor. Both the weeknight edition and we should point out that the weekend edition that will be on at the same time, that will have its own separate anchor team, but both have what's called a breaking news anchor. In the weeknight case, it's Rob Nelson, who a lot of people know in New York from his work at WABC Eyewitness News, Channel 7 for a number of years, and ABC News before that. What is his role, and how does it mesh in with both of you?
Well, it's actually really a three-anchor team is how we're looking at it. And in our rehearsals, we are in different areas of the studio at different times reading different segments or stories. And Rob, I think, will be sort of in charge or leading any of our breaking news situation. The other night, prime example, when Ruth Bader Ginsburg was readmitted to a hospital for a procedure, we were able to go to Rob, and Rob was able to fill our report and do it quite well and extensively. While producers and EPs were focusing on the rest of the show and other situations. So that's where we'll lean on Rob primarily. When there is breaking news, we will be able to go to him. But at the same time, he's also an equal and, I guess, willing partner with us on the desk as well. So you'll see a lot of Rob, too.
Mm-hmm. Marnie, in the run-throughs that both of you have done, have you found a subject matter or, let's say, an area of the country where you've had some interesting stories that going in you might not have thought, hey, this is worth covering, and now you're thinking we definitely should, at least early on, give some major coverage for?
Well, I think that's a national thing. I think there are stories that aren't being told on a national level. But I think, you know, we've had a lot of really good conversations about, you know, what we're currently seeing on national news in cable and what people have told us that they want. And so we're using those conversations to help really fill our shows. So, you know, we've seen that the news of the day often comes from New York or what happened in Washington, D.C. And so we think our role on News Nation and where we can really fill a void is to tell the stories that are happening in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or in Denver, Colorado, or for Joe and I, trying to represent things that are happening in the Pacific Northwest. I think the earthquake that happened in North Carolina this past weekend was really interesting, and we could give that some coverage because it was such a rare event, and we could probably tap into the resources we have in the Pacific Northwest that deal with earthquakes more frequently. So I think there is just such a large appetite for other news that's happening that our biggest challenge will be what doesn't make the newscast every night. Can we do it tomorrow?
Yeah. Joe, being the new news player in town, what's it been like for everybody on the team, as well as all the Next Star things involved, to make sure that, you know, they have great sources with local authorities, local government officials, you know, the people you need to talk to so that you have access?
Well, that's been the beauty of having access to all of these journalists in the local Nextstar markets. We're counting on them because no one knows these communities better than they do. So for us to tap into their expertise, as I said, we're dropping in on these markets during our coverage of Isaias and whatever, the Oklahoma City where the inmates tied sheets together and tried to escape from the prison there. We're going to reporters who are in these markets and know these cities and know the local sources, and they've been a big part of, I think, our success and will be moving forward. I also think that from, I guess, just an overall standpoint, everyone here is fairly, you know, new. They've just brought everyone together here in Chicago, and to hire 150 people during a pandemic is pretty impressive. And I think, too, on a bigger picture, we are all excited to be a part of this because, as you know, Simon, you've covered this industry a long time. It's pretty unusual to be able to start something like this, a primetime cable newscast, from the ground up. And to do it, as I said, with all of this going on, it's something we're all honored to be a part of. I mean, think back and look at CNN's debut or Fox News or ESPN, and we really feel like we're fortunate to be a part of television history here with this launch of News Nation.
And Simon, one thing I'll just add to what Joe was saying about how we cover the country. Here at our newsroom in Chicago, we've broken the nation up into zones. And so we have producers for each zone that are in constant communication with the different television stations in those zones. And the way that we set that up to operate is so that we don't miss anything that's happening in the country, whether it be in the Northeast, the Midwest, the Southeast, the West, the Southwest, West, you name it. We're set up to cover things and to really pivot quickly when breaking news happens.
One final question for both of you. I was looking at your Facebook page. News Nation, by the way, does have a Facebook page, and you've already have, even before launch, nearly 5,000 followers. How much of a role do you think social media will play, both on the national level with your production team and on the local level with the NextStar stations in terms of finding stories?
I think it'll play a pivotal role, Simon. I think it's really opened the door social media has for us to have conversations off the air with people who watch us and also get their feedback. I think that it really lends itself to a conversation about why did you cover this story? How did you cover this story? Will you cover this story? And then we can really have a back and forth with people who are watching us on a social media platform that we can't necessarily have in a three-hour newscast. And I think it's important that we at News Nation listen to what people have to say because, to be honest, they're who we're serving. And we're putting together this newscast because they asked for it. So we want to get it right. We will get it right. We want to hold ourselves accountable, and I think that's a partnership with our viewers and building trust over time, which we will try to do on a nightly basis. But social media, I think, gives us and our viewers a microphone.
You know, I think the magnitude of this is lost on anyone, Simon. I realize that we're taking on the biggest names and biggest networks in cable television news. They have their game plan, and a lot of that entails single anchor opinion-based shows, talk. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to occupy a different lane, and we've heard from a lot of people who are excited about it, who say, you know, don't tell me how to think, just tell me the news. And that's sort of our game plan and our mission, and that's what we're going to try to do.
The program is News Nation. It is WGN's new primetime three-hour newscast, and it all begins 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, etc., on September 1st, 7 nights a week, with a replay with updates from 11 p.m. Eastern to 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Again, this is 7 nights a week. Check your local listings where WGN America plays in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to WGNAmerica.com. That's WGNAmerica.com. And if you want to find out more about News Nation, including the anchors we just talked to, there are several stories that we've done at MediaVillage.com, including one I put together with some of the folks at NextStar who are at WGN America who are putting the service and the format together. So check that out at MediaVillage.com. That's MediaVillage.com, the media leadership website. Joe Gallen, Marnie Hughes, thank you so much for taking the time from your run-through to be with us. All the very best to you and everybody involved, both with your team and the 5,000 reporters at NextStar Station around the country. This is going to be something, I think, very special and running a long time, and it's been a pleasure to have you both here.
Simon, thank you very much for the time. We'll see you September 1st.
Thank you, Simon.
Absolutely. And by the way, if you want any television news, any way that we can be of service, please let us know anytime.
You've been great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Don't mind. Take care.
You too. See you September.
Yep. Joe Donnelly and Marnie Hughes coming your way with News Nation on WGN America September 1st, joining us live from their headquarters in Chicago. More tomorrow, televised coming your way with first and more from the fine folks at audible.com. If you're in the mood for a saga, well, how about the latest of the ongoing series, Extraordinary Expeditionary Force? It's a force that roams the galaxy, pirate style, in search of treasure and adventure. The newest book in the series called Critical Mass by Craig Allison, and you can get it now as part of a trial run at Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. With over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you listen on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You get 2 free audiobooks, one of them from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's everything from original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great one woman and one-man shows. And you also get special health and wealth material for a limited time only. It's all part of a one-month trial with great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So, how about having today, or this week, or this weekend, be the time that you or someone you love finds out how Audible.com can transform the way they and you hear the world. Again, for that free one-month trial, 2 audiobooks and more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up our next half hour, our new Crossword Trivia Question of the Week. Get your thinking caps ready. You might win a wonderful book prize. But first, we're going to go live to Oceanside, California, and speak with one of the key people at an organization called Whistle Out. This comes up with a very big study about the quality of shows distributed on smart TV sets and smart devices and services. You might be surprised at the results. And we'll also get that person's thoughts on other things in that same arena. Sherry Riggs will join us live as we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You listen to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and we're also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. BlogTalk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn reach 45 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, TuneIn Radio is your home for the coronavirus news channel, 24/7 updates on what's going on with this pandemic from all over the place, plus original podcasts and other great reporting and material for you. The coronavirus news channel, 24/7, TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow We Televise this Monday afternoon of August the 10th, 2020. Tommy Applebaum with you live from New York. 90 very humid degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. We have another great guest coming your way, and we invite you to be interactive with her. All you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. There's a new media research firm that came out with a very interesting study in the last week or so about the quality of shows by networks like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and so forth, as well as major streaming services. And it's the difference between quality and volume. And the results might surprise you. And that's just some of what this organization is doing when it comes to the world of smart TV distributed programming services. Joining us live from Oceanside, California, one of the key officials at Whistle Out, Sherry Riggs. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me on today. How are you doing?
Very, very fine, thank you. And we're going to get to that study that you have put together in a moment. But first, I mentioned the news notes about the situation with Warner Media, the layoff that they've been doing. It comes after last week when we saw NBC Universal. We saw Warner Media have executive realignments. The sense you get is that Warner Media, Viacom, CBS, NBC Universal, Disney have all come to the conclusion that in this era of television, it is no longer the broadcast network or the cable network or networks that they own that are top dog. It's smart TV distributed services. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. I used to work in television news, and that was a few years ago. And even then, we were starting to see a transfer of live TV and cable and moving it towards app-based viewing on like Roku or Chromecast, anything like that. So we're seeing lots of downcreases in live TV and cable television in favor of streamable services.
Mm-hmm. What are you seeing in terms of viewership of the different levels of smart TV distributed service? You first of all have like the first generation service, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Crackle, CBS All Access, which is now trying to graduate into a mega service. That's the next level, which is Peacock, HBO Max, Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, BET Plus, et cetera. And then you have all these new services that have, over the last 2 years, been coming through, services from music video to the service we'll be covering on Friday, Evergreen. They're like springing up all over the place, and they're popping up on Roku and Amazon Fire TV and so on. Even TikTok is now an Amazon Fire service. What does your firm have to say about the viewership to these services? Any trends you see?
Sure. Well, first, Whistle Out, we're not really a firm. We actually help consumers find cell phone and internet plans that best work for them, although we do some research as well, including this piece that we put together on streaming content and services. So I don't quite have the numbers of how many people are watching each service and such, but I do know that the original beasts of streaming, like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, do have more viewers, more so than the newer services that have been popping up.
Mm-hmm. Now, your study had a very interesting conclusion, which is obviously Netflix dwarfs everybody in terms of being the world's biggest programmer. They are like pumping out original content left, right, center, diagonally all directions. But there is a difference in quality based on various situations, including the Rotten Tomatoes reviews, among the various streaming services. What was the conclusion?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, Netflix did have the most original programming, which is what we were looking at, is what the how good and how much of original programming each service was creating. Now, Netflix created the most, close to 500 new original programs, but when it comes to how it compares on the quality, Netflix comes in fourth place behind Disney Plus, Hulu, and HBO Max. And their average Rotten Tomato critic score for their original content was 84%, which isn't bad, but it's not great when you look at Disney Plus, whose overall score was 92%.
Mm-hmm. The Disney Plus result, was that based on across-the-board viewership? I mean, not just, let's say, one show or two like The Mandalorian or Diary of a Teenage President, or beginning to watch a Disney classic movie, a live-action animated. How did that Disney Plus result come about?
Yeah, so we looked at all of the original programs and looked at the scores, the Rotten Tomatoes scores for each individual original program, not the classics, not like Beauty and the Beast or Sleeping Beauty, and came out that the average was 92% on Disney Plus, which is fairly significant considering Hulu is 5% lower, 87% for their original programming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But again, with the Disney Plus, in terms of the original programming, it wasn't all concentrated on one show, like The Mandalorian, which of course has just got nominated for the Emmy Award. Quite a few. It's like become their Game of Thrones, if you will.
Right, right. But the thing with Disney Plus, if you look at that, they only have, at the time of our study at least, they only have 17 original programs where Netflix has 460. So what Disney has done is created really great original programming, but made it really small. So they kind of went quality over quantity, where Netflix is just trying to bust out as many original programs as they can, probably to keep people binging and streaming or keeping it on in the background while they're doing whatever you're doing throughout your daily life. But yeah, Disney Plus definitely has better quality videos than other programs.
Well, speaking of Sherry Riggs from Whistle Out, very interesting firm, and they came out with this brand new study about the both volume and the quality of original programming on various smart TV distributed services from Netflix to Disney Plus. Sherry joins us live from Oceanside, California this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, and Simon Applebaum is with you from the other end of the U.S. of A, back in New York, where it's 90 humid degrees at the top of the hour, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd like to get your thoughts, so why not give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Finally, on Smart TV Televised, speaking of smart TV streaming services, Amazon is resuscitating one of the most popular series of its kind. Before there was Survivor, or before there was The Amazing Race, from Mark Burnett himself, it's Echo Challenge, which premieres a brand new version this Friday, and we'll have executive producer Lisa Hennessy with us. Plus, as mentioned in our first half hour, Tom Skerritt, the Emmy-winning actor of Picket Fence, is back on CBS in the 1990s. Remember him from a lot of movies as well. Well, he and others have formed a company called Triple Squirrels, and they have just launched a brand new smart service called Evergreen. It's E-V-R-I-G-R-N, and it focuses on talent and programming, scripted and unscripted, from talent nestled in the Pacific Northwest. We'll have the chief executive of Triple Squirrels, Leslie Grandy, with us live. It's all coming up Friday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Back to Netflix for a moment. What were some of the shows that, according to your report, did the best?
Well, we actually don't. We don't have any of the specific shows that did the best on our report. So I don't have the answer to that right now. But I can tell you that of Netflix's original content, they have the most. The most of their original content is kids and family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all of them. The section.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Simon. I was just going to say the kids and family content, they just had the most of their original content was made up of that. So if you're scrolling through Netflix, you're most likely going to see content related to kids and family rather than drama or horror or fantasy sci-fi.
Mm-hmm. Was there a certain genre where they did better in not specific shows? As you mentioned, kids and family, which they have been doing really great with. You have comedies, you've got saga, adventure sagas, you've got young adult, you've got their movies, some of which, of course, were nominated for Oscars in the last couple of years, Roma, The Irishman, so on. Is there certain genres that seem to really hit it big for them?
For Netflix in particular?
Yeah.
We don't have that specifically, but I imagine, this is my personal conclusion, that because Netflix has the most kids and family original series and original content, that is, seems to be what's doing best for them at the moment.
By the way, it seems that when you read stories about Netflix's programming, that kids and family, with some exceptions, doesn't get as much attention. Particularly their animated show, their children's animated shows, as for example their adult animated shows like BoJack Horseman, Epic for Family, and so on and so forth. Do you get that same sense too?
Sorry, can you say that one more time?
Yeah, do you get the sense that their children's animated shows don't get enough as much attention in public as their adult animated shows like BoJack Horseman, Epic for Family, Big Mouth,
right,
et cetera?
Sure, sure. I think that might be due to the fact that kids aren't as picky about the shows they're watching as adults are. So when a new adult cartoon comes out, all of can sometimes be almost cult classics. All these adults watching those shows are super stoked, whereas for kids, if a new cartoon comes out, they're just excited to see a new cartoon. So I think that's maybe why we don't hear as much about the kids and family programming, is because kids just aren't as picky about what they're watching.
Let's go back to the mega services. After Disney Plus, who came second?
Who came second after Disney Plus? In terms of quality?
In terms of volume and quality. HBO Max, Peacock, we're talking about the mega services. HBO Max, Peacock, Apple TV Plus, etc.
Right. Hulu came in second for quality, and then HBO Max came in third, and then fourth was Netflix at 84%.
Hulu seems to be on a roll when it comes to, especially with comedies, with programs like 10-15, Raimi. They've also done very well with miniseries of late, Little Fires Everywhere, which got a bunch of Emmy nominations a couple weeks ago. And it seems that Hulu is really raring to have a big year now that production is coming back to Los Angeles and New York and other places. Hulu is propped up to have a big year, a bigger year.
Hulu's definitely propped up to have a really good year, and especially when you look at the content they are creating, especially their original content, Hulu's majority of their content is comedy. So I think they're really trying to nail down that corner of the market and say, we are the king of comedies, come to Hulu for that. But they do have really big competition with Netflix, who has really popular comedy specials. And so I think we'll see a pretty strong competition between Hulu and Netflix, with Hulu coming out on top with comedies, comedy specials, and comedy sitcoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, Sherry, Hulu has a new series coming out called Woke, which I have seen clips of, and I think it's going to be one of the sensations of the fall. It's a mix of live action animation. It takes place in New York. It's got a great cast, starting with the person who plays the cartoonist. It's based on an actual cartoonist and his work, and African American cartoonist. And I have a hunch it is going to be a big winner for Hulu.
Yeah, I've heard of it. It sounds amazing. I'm really looking forward to watching it. you know, Hulu also has another recent new comedy called Crossing Swords, I think, another adult cartoon, and I think those are really big right now. I don't think we're going to see a shortage of adult cartoons in the near future. So all of you people who love comedies like that, I think you're in for a sweet surprise in the next year.
And by the way, with Hulu, at long last, Animaniacs is finally going to debut. The revival of that popular Warner Brothers Steven Spielberg series is going to come back before the end of the year. And we'll see both in volume and quality with people. Let's talk about where did Peacock and HBO Max show up, the two newest mega services?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so HBO Max was actually in third in quality, and Peacock, we didn't have a quality review for them yet, just because when we did this, they hadn't been live yet with their original content. So, but HBO Max is third at 84.5% for quality of content.
How is Amazon faring?
Amazon is not faring well in terms of quality. They are one of the bigger streaming giants out there, but they only have an 82% for quality. That's second to last next to CBS All Access, who has a abysmal 71% on Rotten Tomatoes for quality.
Is that a big surprise, given that they have The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which just got another batch of Emmy nominations? They just came out with The Great, which Ellie Fanning is getting wonderful reviews for. They've got coming up in September, The Boys, going into a second. See, they actually made the third. They're making a third season out of it, and also the fact that they may have a very exciting schedule ahead that for 2021, which may include at long last The Lord of the Rings and The Wheel of Time. They're two big. Moves into to a speculative saga, if you will.
Right. So I think with Amazon Prime, to put it in perspective, they have 91 original series or original videos on their platform. So I think what we're seeing with lots of those nominations is we're seeing kind of outliers that they've put a lot of time and energy into a queue and then maybe worked really quickly to bust out a lot more to try and keep up with Netflix and Hulu in terms of original content. So now that Prime has created more of a name of itself in the streaming world, I believe we'll see better, higher quality content for them, especially if they expect to keep up with the other services.
Yeah. Disney Plus, when it came to the Emmys 2 weeks ago, had 19 nominations their first time out. Apple TV Plus had 18. How did Apple TV Plus fare, especially given the variety of series that they've launched in their first year? And their first year isn't over yet.
Right, yeah. Apple TV Plus, still really new in terms of the streaming world. They have 26 original series or videos. They have 26 original content produced. And they came in, they did okay on our critics score of our reviews of those. They came in above Amazon Prime at third to last, just below Netflix. And so their average quality score was 83.5%.
Are you getting a sense that Apple TV is turning the corner in terms of audience acceptance of their original programming and critical acceptance of their original programming because of things like the Emmy nominees they picked up for shows like The Morning Show, the acclaim they've had for new programs like Little America, the anthology series, and Little Voice with Sarah Bareilles, as well as Dickinson winning the Peabody Award, which is the first such award that Apple TV Plus has had. And to get it in the first year is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, Apple with their thing in their first year for Apple TV Plus, I think they're doing better than anyone really could have expected. And I really think that we'll only see Apple TV Plus get better from here. Although, if we look at the market, it is really saturated. And I think Apple TV Plus can really be grateful that they aren't Quibi right now. And we didn't even really review Quibi in this study because Quibi just hasn't been doing great. So when you can compare new streaming startups to Apple TV Plus and Quibi, we can see, you know, Apple TV Plus is doing really well for itself, considering.
Well, since you raised it, well, what do you think about Quibi? It seems that they are having big problems getting an audience, and that they have had to turn finally to smart TV sets to try to get to get some of that audience going.
Yeah, you know, I have spent a fair amount of time watching Quibi, upwards of 20 hours to try to create videos about it and do reviews. And poor Quibi, I think they had, in the beginning, it was a great idea. They were announced at CES last year, and I think it was a really exciting moment for the streaming community, something new and different. But with Corona hitting and just the quality of their video, I think it's just a really sad case of bad timing for Quibi. Maybe any other time it might have worked out, but I don't think we'll see Quibi be resuscitated anytime soon.
Yeah. One thing I didn't see is BET Plus, which is a mega service with about over 1,000 hours of programming. They were the first of these mega services to come out. Did anybody raise that topic at all? Raise that service at all in your report?
No, we just did these 8 services. We did Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, Disney, HBO Max, Peacock, and CBS All Access. But those are the 8 that we focused on, as they seem to be the most popular at the moment.
Yeah. If you do another report like this, would you add on, for example, CBS All Access, which looks like it's going to be graduating to a mega service, BET Plus, Crackle, Topic, which is look like they do more original programming, and maybe take some of these newer services that are running on smart TV sets and devices, whether they're music video services, whether they are scripted services, some of the services being run by places like Jukin Media, Cinedigm, and so forth, to bring them in and see how they're doing.
Yeah, definitely. So our website, in the past, we've mainly focused on telecommunication information, but this is one of our first branches out into the streaming world, and we've gotten really good feedback from it, and we want to keep expanding that vertical. So looking into all of these other smaller or even bigger streaming services is something that we're definitely looking into and definitely want to start creating more content about.
Sherry, before you go, what's your gut sense about where we go from here? Are all these services going to make good? Are we going to stay in this era of plentiful TV where Netflix pumps out hundreds of original shows by itself every year, and others try to keep up? What's your sense about where this era is going?
Well, if we just look at the numbers right now, Netflix could do nothing. They could create no new content for at least a year, and they'd still be the overall winner in how much original content they have. So I think it's really up to these other streaming services to really step up their A game and bust out more content if they really want to keep up with Netflix. And as for the short term, I really think that we're going to see the top 3 services, Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon, stay the top for the next year or so. And then I think the competition is really going to step up its game once all of these other services have had a few years under their belts. But for now, for the time being, I think Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon, maybe HBO Max are going to be the top services that we'll see for the foreseeable future.
And we will leave it there. If you want more details or see Sherry's report and also find out what else her organization does, here's where you go online, www.whistleout.com. That's www.whistleout.com. You can find that report plus all the other things that her organization does. Sherry, thank you again for being with us live from Oceanside, California. Congratulations on coming out with this study, and hopefully more work on the smart TV world to come from you and your colleagues.
Thank you so much for having me, Simon.
It's a pleasure, Sherry. Thanks for coming aboard. Have a great week ahead. Stay well and safe.
You too. Bye-bye.
Sherry Riggs, The Whistle Out, joining us live from Oceanside, California. And now it's time for our weekly feature, the classic trivia question. And get ready, because if you are first with the correct answer, you will win the book, Personality Not Included. It's all about why companies lose their authenticity and how great brands get it back. From McGraw-Hill by Rohit Bhargava, and forward by the venture capitalist genius himself, Guy Kawasaki. We are looking for our 5th winner in the last 6 weeks. And the question is this. Remember Anthony Franciosa, or Tony Franciosa? Wonderful actor. You may have seen his big movie, A Hatful of Rain. He was nominated for an Oscar film that came from a Broadway play he was Tony nominated for. Well, get this. Between the mid-1960s and the mid-1980s, Anthony Franciosa headlined 5 television series. He starred in 5 television series. The question, name the first or the last TV series starring Anthony Franciosa. Name the first or the last television series starring Anthony Franciosa. Let's give you a hint. The first one he did in the mid-1960s was a comedy. The last one he did was a semi-anthology, and I believe Aaron Spelling may have been involved. If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your full mailing address so if you win, we can get the prize out to you as soon as possible. Once again, the question, name the first or last television series starring Anthony Franciosa. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win Personality Not Included by Rohit Bhargava. Remember, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You got the answer, and make sure you include the answer, your name, and your mailing address. And if we don't hear from anyone by the end of the day today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook under Simon Applebaum and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. I have about 720 followers right now. That's UBCSimonTWBT on Twitter. So in order to win, you got to be in. So do so to all the very best. We've had a lot of great luck lately since we brought the feature back. 4 winners over the last 5 weeks. We're going for number 5 over the last 6. But it all starts when you get into play. So do so, and all the very best. Well, thank all our guests for being with us today. Joe Donlin and Marty Hughes, the co-anchors of the weeknight edition of News Nation, starts on WJR Marcus November 1st. And Sherry Riggs from Wrinkle Out with her report on what's going on in the world of smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Remember, we got a great show coming your way on Friday with Lisa Hennessy, the executive producer of the revival of Echo Challenge from Mark Burnett. And that's happening on Amazon starting on Friday. Same day interview. Plus, from Triple Squirrel, the production co behind the brand new smart TV streaming phone service Evergreen, it's CEO Leslie Grandy. And don't forget, 1 week from today, we'll have the host executive producer of the new HBO Max series, Ravi Patel's Pursuit of Happiness, Ravi Patel himself. So be with us and be involved with us by phone or chat room. Okay? Simon Apple 04 by name. By the way, if you'd like to suggest guests on this program or give your thoughts, you know, you can. That's how you get involved, by email, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And don't forget that if you came in later on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast on Apple TV, iTunes, Speakers Podcast app, TuneIn.com, and iHeartRadio.com. And remember, you can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. Either way you communicate with us, we appreciate it. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio General Manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, Head of Content. The co-founders of BTR are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow's Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For 2 pre-order books, health and wealth material, and much more, and with a 1 month trial attached, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your week. We're back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iRadio Podcast Network. And remember, whatever you're up to now and then, please make it safe, make it great, follow the guidelines, and let's protect this pandemic once and forever. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.